Listen and stream the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Now it's time for your favorite doctor, the lunchtime doctor, Sophia Mohammed, right here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Also heard on Sangeet 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5 and Vibe City 105 FM. And the doctor is making a house call today. She's actually in the house. Good afternoon to you, doctor.
Good afternoon, Base, and good afternoon to all those tuned in right here, locked in to the Lunchtime Doctor. As you know, this is the radio program where we get to dissect your health challenges. We take that deep dive and we get to break it down in palatable pieces that we can know you're going to optimize your health and ensure you're treated well. Let's also find out what's on that lunchtime plate and if it aligns to our nutritional guide that we share right here on the Lunchtime Doctor. I am Dr. Sophia Mohammed, here to answer your questions. Base will give you those numbers again.
All right, of course, our numbers are 627-3223, 625-2257. Those are the numbers to call. You can also feel free to WhatsApp message us at 306-1065. That's 306-1065. You can also message our other stations that this program is heard on, and they will forward it right here to us on the Lunchtime Doctor. What's on the plate today, Doc?
So today, we have seen in the front page of The Guardian that hand, foot and mouth syndrome, a couple cases have been presented in Carenage. This morning on CNC3, we were asked about it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're also going to talk about what's in your Health Plus pages, which is a very common condition that women experience, endometriosis. This month of March is Endometriosis Awareness Month. And this particular concern is one that is constantly stigmatized. So we want to make sure we bust down those myths about it. And of course, we're here to answer those questions.
Definitely. And I definitely had a close friend of mine who did have endometriosis. And I think she went to Cuba to have an operation.
Right.
Because there are things that could be done. And I guess we will be talking about that later on. Let's get into our questions. You remember 306-1065 for WhatsApps only. Hi, my 13-year-old is experiencing period cramps on and off for the past 2 days, but haven't got her period as yet. Is that normal?
So that is very normal. If we understand a little bit about the cycle, just before there's the release of the blood or the endometrial lining, that blood products, there is indeed that smooth muscle, which is the uterus itself, that tends to contract. When that contracts, that's where there is that pain. What can help tremendously, she said she's 13, you can put that warm, they use the water baths or the warm, any sort of warm towel onto the area, or there are indeed over-the-counter medications that can help ease that pain. Rest, hydration is crucial.
I have another question here. Doctor, what are the causes of migraine headaches? I've been having some migraines for the past couple of weeks.
Now, migraines is one that can be triggered by so many different causes. It could be as simple as an aroma to foods that you may be eating, the things that you are overly sensitive to, or the most common use is overexertion of the eyes or eye strain in some way. That is one that will trigger your migraine. Lack of sleep as well, right? High levels of stress. So there are different migraines on the whole can present in different ways. You have your temporal migraine, you have your classical migraine, but most times they tend to be triggered. I actually have a couple friends that can't eat chocolate or can't smell certain odors because it triggers a migraine.
Yeah.
What should you do? Thankfully, with migraines, over-the-counter medications can help. A caffeine-based medication tends to help as well. And why? Because the caffeine constricts the blood flow, so it reduces that pulsation that one may feel, especially within the temporal area. You want to also find the reason, find the trigger, and you will eliminate the migraines.
All right, let's get a call right here. 627-3223, hello. Oh, we lost that one. Or 625-2257. All right, your call's right here on the Lunchtime Doctor. You have another question here. Doctor, early at morning, usually when I wash my mouth, there is blood. What causes this early in the morning?
So anytime you're seeing blood where you're not supposed to see blood, we need to investigate that up front. But within the mouth, there are very fine arterioles and capillaries. And if it is that there may be a little bit over vigorous brushing using the toothbrush mm-hmm. that may indeed trigger that fine amount of bleeding. If it's even before that, and you're also noticing any blue and black spots around your body, on the skin, we'd want to check your platelet values in particular. When one's platelet, like say when one has dengue and the platelets values are down, even those with COVID, those values were indeed affected and they did have nosebleeds and easy bleeds of the gum, the mucosa lining, because of COVID. So I would suggest look at what are the other symptoms you're experiencing, and if you're noticing anything out of the normal in terms of blue and black spots on the body, or that blood you're seeing more often than usual, please get it checked out.
All right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
My blessed doctor, Beast Boy.
Yeah, man.
You know, this doctor, right? I hate to miss a program, boy. Dry health freak.
Mm-hmm.
And helping save lives, too.
Yeah, of course.
Doc, listen to this. I just do my annual blood, my annual in the health center, right? They take some blood, prostate, sugar, cholesterol, kidney, whatever. And I get my result in 2 weeks. And I do a little survey and ask people in the health center. I like an abortifacer. I don't want to know. You know, 90% of these people is diabetic. I was amazed, you know, 90% is diabetic. It looked like as if every house has at least one person who is diabetic.
You know, people, yes, continue.
People really concerned about how they look on the outside and they're not thinking about the inside. But I, you see, Miguel, I think about my inside. I spend money on my inside and I don't care how I look. Have a blessed one, listening. Thanks.
No, well, the inside will definitely be reflected on the outside. Mm-hmm. And you're very correct about the clinics there. Right now in Trinidad and Tobago, actually not even right now, in the past, say, 2 decades, mm-hmm. but we've definitely seen an increase in the amount of non-communicable diseases, more so the presentation of diabetes. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. And this is why we continue to advocate and do all these health programs. Mm-hmm. Because diabetes is indeed preventable. When we talk about non-communicable diseases, they are lifestyle type diseases. Yes, one may have a genetic inheritance, as in if your parents are diabetic, you have a possibility that you can become diabetic as well. But your environmental factors, what you eat, your exercise level, and of course you're managing your stress levels, all of that can worsen. As what you notice there in the clinic, you saying anecdotally that 90% of the patients are indeed diabetic, that's very true. I would say possibly about half, 51% of our population is indeed diabetic. I think the stats can give us some more accurate values, but we have a high percentage of patients here. For all those who are indeed and they tuned in, please know we also have our Diabetes Association you can contact. And on Thursday, right here on Freedom, I'm going to do an open ad. We have our Diabetes Association president doing our program right here.
Yes, definitely.
So you can get more information for those who are diabetic.
Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the Lunchtime Doctor.
Good day, good day. This is a good question. I have recommended a tablet. Not prescribers recommended, right? And it's a 10 milligram tablet. Now, the pharmacy, when you go to the pharmacy, the 10 milligram and the 25 milligram is the exact same price. Can I use the 25 milligram, cut it in half, and take that? Thank you.
So I don't know the exact name of the tablet, and while it's recommended the 10 milligram, if you are using a half of a 25 milligram, yes, that's 12.5, but I'd rather let the pharmacist give you that advice, or if you can indeed source your 10 milligram, then that would be a little more accurate. At least please continue to take the medication. You're going to get your dosage in, because as we know, when you cut, it tends to break off a little bit. So you'll at least get that 10 milligram. However, it's advisable not to break the structure of the medication itself if it's 10 versus the 20, etc. So let the pharmacist make that decision and guide you accordingly.
All right. Thanks again. Once again, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1. Sky 99.5 and Vibe City 105.1 FM. Our numbers 627-3223, 625-2257. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon to Base, and a special good afternoon to the intellect doctor there. Doc, I have a little, but it's not really a problem. I have an overactive appetite. Nothing could seduce my appetite. you know, and sometimes like, okay, well, I just had lunch. I had rice with dal and dashi mosh bhaji with a little salad, right? Now my stomach is feeling full, but my appetite is watery still, you know?
Yes.
So, and even though if I get a little cold or anything like that, my appetite, it don't disperse my appetite. I always have a strong appetite. So, what's your advice? A little offense.
So, good question. Interesting question. Now, if the appetite is not affecting your, say, your BMI, as in if you're not over the normal BMI, then I will not be concerned. However, if you find is a little bit out of the normal, here's the one thing I want you to get checked. Your thyroid hormone. Patients with a hyperthyroidism can have an increased or overly stimulation of their appetite sensations. Another thing that is to note, I don't know if you're on any medications like steroids, and yes, we do have some of the oral steroids, or even our asthmatics, they take steroids that can also increase one's appetite. The other medications, some of the side effect tends to be an open appetite, so just double check that. But once it's not putting on weight, once you're managing your exercise, so your input and your output is balanced, then I would not be concerned.
Nice. What about if he's like vegan or vegetarian? Is that
and that as well, even better if he's vegan. Okay. We know that the vegans have a healthier output.
All right, nice, beautiful. Hello, good afternoon, welcome.
Hello, good afternoon, doc. What happens since I take this vaccine? A mark come out in my belly, small like a birthmark. Then it gets real big, and I went to San Fernando Hospital, and then tell me on the 20th I have to do a biopsy. But it don't, when it come out, it's there like a burn, and it's real hurt. And next thing I do, I was getting chest pain, and so I do heart tests and so, and everything come back negative, but I still getting real pain in my chest, like, I don't know, by my heart.
Thank you so much for messaging in. I'm so concerned about what you're sharing. Now, let's deal with the chest pain first, the latter one. I'm glad you got that at least investigated. However, chest pains have a way of presenting and then building and presenting again. It can present with greater intensity. The first time you mightn't see the changes on the ECG. So if you do experience it again, please represent the health center. I still don't know what your blood pressures may be. We have patients with high blood pressures that can present with chest pains that may not show changes on the ECG in the earlier state, but they certainly do later on. Now let's jump into the first part that you shared, that you saw a mark on your belly, on the tummy. Now what we know is that all those who were vaccinated, they were vaccinated on the arm. I honestly, and this is my humble opinion, I honestly don't think that mark on the tummy is directly related to the vaccine mark, and here's why. What we also noticed when everyone became vaccinated is that they were much more aware of their body, much more aware if they're going to present with an allergy, much more aware of their skin conditions. So it may just be that the vaccination brought you a greater awareness, and now that you've noticed that and you're getting it investigated, I'm glad you're moving it forward to have a biopsy of it, because it may just be an abnormal growth that does not need to be on your belly. So I hope that answers your question. Stay consistent with the evaluations, and let's get to the bottom of this.
All right, thank you very much. Let's get another question coming from our WhatsApp. Hi, my total cholesterol level is 235. My LDL is 165. I have no diabetes or heart issues. Do I need to take meds to reduce my cholesterol?
Good question. So first and foremost, that total cholesterol value and the LDL, they're both elevated. But what I don't know is if you've tested before, and say you tested before and it was only say a month or 2 months ago and it was normal, and then right after you tested and it's elevated. What we tend to do is we treat the patient, not necessarily one blood value. So we'll also get an idea of what's your level of exercise, what's your lifestyle measures. So if if one is not engaging in any sort of exercise, if one also has high blood pressure or has a family history of hyperlipidemia or cardiovascular disease, then right away we'll put on certain layers of medication. We may also, if there's no risk factor associated, then we may give you those lifestyle bits advice. Watch what you're eating, reduce your saturated fats, reduce the overarching amount of meat you may indulge in, and introduce more of a vegan, more high fiber type lifestyle to bring down that cholesterol. Right away, most doctors would not prescribe a cholesterol or lipid lowering agent, but it's always based on several factors. Today, you can do active changes. Start engaging in moderate type activity. Any sort of exercise, at least 15 to 20 minutes, the recommended is of course 30 minutes a day, will activate the increase of HDL, which is the good cholesterol, and will help break down your total cholesterol. So just exercise alone is one of those strategies. Yes, we can always add a lipid-lowering medication if we need to. Hope that answers your question.
All right. And what is LDL, doctor?
Good. So when the person talked about the total cholesterol, mm-hmm. it's then broken down into four components. Right. Your LDL, your low-density lipoprotein, mm-hmm. your HDL, which is the high-density lipoprotein. Right. The HDL is what we call the good cholesterol.
Okay.
The LDL is called the bad cholesterol.
Right.
And you actually need a little bit of good mm. cholesterol circulating within the body mm. to help maintain the vascularity of the arteries.
So what is a good level for both?
Right. So each one has a different value. Mm-hmm. Your HDL, we yeah. need it somewhere between, say, between 50 and 60.
Right.
The LDL, we want it under 120.
Oh,
so that 165 is definitely elevated.
Yeah. All right. Let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime,
good
doctor.
Afternoon, Dave. Good afternoon, I'll call you.
Okay, man. Yeah, man, Trin City.
Well, Doc, here is you know, normally I tell you I'll drink coconut water, more natural things. I will drink at least 2 coconuts a day. Maybe say a liter of water, right? Is it too much? Because someone told me how a person said, you know, when you drink and take near blood, you drink coconut water. That's true?
So, no, that's not true. Coconut water does not have any anti-thrombotic agents that will thin your blood. That's absolutely not true.
A liter is okay if I drink that amount?
Well, a liter is a... you certainly will probably have a few more trips to the washroom than the average person would, right?
I drink 2 every day, so it's about that amount I drink.
So you just want to manage, however, because coconut water has a high glycemic index. So it's much more sugary than normal water. But of course, you're going to get your great nutrients, that nice balance of the electrolytes within it. Probably 1 liter is as much as I would go. Not more than that.
Okay, sure. And next thing, I joined a gym at 62, so I'm doing good. I joined Saturday, and I'm doing a lot of things on the Amaze instructors, and I was doing very good.
Nice, man.
Everything
nice
they asked me to do and everything, I just doing everything else. You know what I mean? Like a young person, if you understand.
Well done. And I want to encourage people, you know, persons really, they feel like, okay, at age 50, at age 60, it's too old to join the gym. Mm-hmm. Here we have a caller at age 62, joining the gym. Mm-hmm. Basically, first time I joined the gym, right? Mm-hmm. There was a lovely couple.
Mm-hmm.
They were 72
yeah.
and 75.
Yeah.
And they were lifting heavier weights than I could have lifted when I now joined. And
yeah.
they were such an inspiration.
Yeah, yeah.
And they continue to lift weights together, mm-hmm. exercise together.
Oh,
and they give all the younger ones around inspiration.
Yeah, that's very
so
good.
There's no age limit mm-hmm. to joining the gym or to getting exercise.
Beautiful. Keeping healthy. Get on that health track. Today, people, start now. All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, doctor. I just heard the last caller speaking about joining the gym at age 62. Would you recommend people do yoga instead of the rigorous gym type training, or either one is as good as the other?
Right. So, excellent question. And here's why I can answer it. Not because I'm a medical doctor, but because I'm a practitioner of yoga. In fact, since my little baby in utero, we're doing yoga. Both, so lifting weights in the gym, cardiovascular exercise, and yoga, they all have different health benefits when it comes to exercise. Yoga is one that allows that stretching, allows you relaxation. I actually call yoga the whole body fitness exercise because you can even exercise smaller muscles that you won't normally exercise, say, in a normal cardiovascular training. However, lifting weights tends to strengthen your muscles. It is what we call resistance training. So there's a different health benefit as compared to yoga. My best advice is integrate both. Use some of the yoga exercises as part of your stretching before, use it after, use some of the yoga as you're building your cardiovascular, and then use the weight building to also strengthen the muscles. A bit of both, and you're going to be well on your way to even healthier lifestyle.
Nice, man. Beautiful. Once again, folks, you're listening to the Lunchtime Doctor, Dr. Sophia Muhammad, live on your Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5, and of course, Vibe City 105 FM, 306-1065. Those are the number for your WhatsApp. And of course, 627-3223 and 625-2257, the numbers to call. Hello, good afternoon.
Mr. Beast, good day, sir.
Yeah, man.
It's Trin City, boy.
Hey, we're going on the other Trin City. Hello.
The original.
Oh, okay, okay. Hey, yeah, man, Trin City. Yeah, this is your original Trin City.
Good morning, morning. Think about pressure today. What is the normal pressure you're supposed to have in your eye? And what is normal high blood pressure for somebody between 50 to 65?
Good questions. Nice. So now within the eye pressures, I don't want to give that exact value simply because we look at different ocular pressures for the front of the eye. You have your anterior chamber, and then you have your vitreous chamber, and then of course we have the overarching intraocular pressure. I'll happily give the normal blood pressure value, which is, and we've taught this over and over here, your top values, your systolic, the bottom values, your diastolic. Textbook, we would want under 120 on 80. Why does typical the value, even for age 50 person, that tends to be what does not impede or worsen the heart in terms of functioning if there's a hypertensive. What we consider low-grade hypertension is anything 130 on 80. The minute your diastolic, that's the bottom value, crosses 90, that's when we get concerned. And even more concerned when that bottom value goes to 100. Any patient with a diastolic of over 100, I am very concerned. Your top value, which is your systolic, tends to change based on the activities of the day. So let's just say you're stuck in traffic and then you're rushing. Your systolic can easily go up, but you give yourself a couple of minutes of calm, your systolic can come back down. So it really depends on the time of the day, the activities of the day, will what will interpret your blood pressure. To anyone who's taking their blood pressure at home, to get an accurate reading, you want to at least sit for 5 minutes comfortably. And yes, I know sitting for 5 minutes is a lot of time, but you need to give yourself that 5 minutes to just calm, because you yourself can induce something called white coat hypertension, where the blood pressure automatically elevates. So we're not going to run up a stairs, then to sit down, then to take the blood pressure. Okay, I hope that answers the question.
All right, great. Let's deal with some WhatsApp questions we have here. Piling up from Sangeet. Good afternoon, doctor. I think I heard someone a while ago said you're drinking ginger, hardy, and cinnamon in your Lipton. Can you drink this mixture every day?
So when it comes to ginger, I didn't get the second one, was it?
Ginger, hardy, and cinnamon.
Okay, so I'm not too sure what the hardy is, but definitely cinnamon, and you don't even need to add it to any special tea. You can just add it to lukewarm water, and that's your daily drink in the morning. Ginger in particular has a host of health benefits, especially when it comes to maintaining the digestive tract, and so too with cinnamon. So my special morning mix is your warm cup of tea or your lukewarm cup of water, grate a little bit of ginger, or you could use the cinnamon powder. And if you need to flavor it, you can add a drop or two of honey. If you want to add some freshly squeezed lemon juice, then that's your perfect morning mix. And believe me, that gets the gut going. That gets the peristalsis, the normal gut functioning, moving in the body. And you will see a lot of digestive issues settled.
All right, we have another question here from Sangeeta. Hello, doctor. My ankle, I believe this word they're trying to say, is swollen, and I'm feeling it pulling at the back of the heel.
So anytime you have a swollen ankle, we want to rule out any musculoskeletal injury. You know, the ankle itself, there's so many bones and so many ligaments that stabilizes that joint, that a simple twist or turn can cause that swelling. But if your ankle swelling is one-sided, that's when it may be more musculoskeletal. If it's both ankles, it may be related to your heart condition, where we actually have something called, what Trinidadians talk about, that circulation problem, right? So we want to rule out any sort of cardiovascular disease, rule out any sort of high blood pressure. Any sort of swelling, you want to make sure you get that tested out.
All right. Yes, another question here, or let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I want to believe Hardy is possibly Hardy or saffron.
Ah, yes, definitely. Definitely. It may be the saffron, because they do mention that. So thank you so much for giving us that clarification.
Thank you there, caller. All right, let's have another one here. Listen to the Lunchtime Doctor. Hi, good morning. Good afternoon to you and the doctor. Is warm water and lemon okay for weight loss?
Very much so. That is, and of course you're not going to start that in the morning and then have a host of sugary drinks during the day. Mm-hmm. Please be mindful. Some persons tell me, doc, I'm using what you recommend, you know, but I'm not losing any weight. And when you check every single meal, it's adding up during the day. So yes, warm water and a couple drops of lemon in the morning first thing is excellent for weight loss. But what's more important for weight loss is managing the input, calories in, calories out. If your amount of calories is more than you are indeed balancing, then you will not achieve that weight loss.
All right. Hi, doc. My friend's testosterone test is 276. Is it low or high? And what is good to be used if it's low? He is 71 years old.
So I'm happy that at age 71, he's checking his testosterone level. I don't know the actual unit to be able to say if it's milligrams per deciliter or if it's which one, the SI units, etc. If indeed there is a problem, he probably would present with certain conditions. And that's when we will need to treat. We really wouldn't treat a value, as I would have mentioned before. We treat the symptom, or if he's experiencing some sort of sign that there is indeed low testosterone. There are indeed a couple meals, a couple things that you can have to up or regulate that testosterone level. And I think I'm going to leave that conversation for tomorrow, where we will go not only into some of the nutritional meals that can indeed have or up your testosterone, but we'll also look at what are those signs and symptoms of what one may present with when a testosterone level is low.
All right, let's take a call. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, Dr. Aldine, what is the normal level for PSA test for men?
Right. So when it comes to the PSA values, we want to ensure that, again, we're not only looking at the value itself, but we also want to see if there's any change in the symptoms. So change as if there's any blood in the urine, if there's any change in the way one may urinate. That PSA is crucial, your prostate specific antigen test, and there are different values in terms of the units. I want to move persons away from the value itself. What we need to look at is just making sure we get it done.
All right, we have a question here coming from Sky 99.5 FM. Good day. What can be done to melt a Baker cyst behind the knee?
Right. Now, Baker cyst is one we see fairly often, more often than you would think, right here in Trinidad and Tobago. There, first and foremost, we can do direct surgical steroid injections, and that helps reduce that Baker cyst. But it's very much an ergonomic problem as well. If the way you are, your mobilization, the exercise, the physiotherapy, all of that is crucial in reducing the impact of the Baker's cyst. What we would definitely suggest is ensure a physiotherapist or an orthopedic surgeon reviews exactly how that Baker's cyst is forming or how it's affecting your daily movements, because it can indeed continue to grow, increase in size, and then worsen your mobilization.
12:34 on time. You listen to the Lunchtime Doctor. Get your questions in 627-3223 and 625-2257. Let's go to the WhatsApp. Good afternoon, Doctor. Could you tell me what causes a cyst or polyps on the ovary?
Right.
My daughter removed them years ago. Today it has returned. She has two children and is 38 years of age.
Okay, thank you for all of that information. We see a number of patients with ovarian cysts or these polyps or just these cysts across within the reproductive area. It's most of the causation tends to be genetic increases or changes in hormones in particular. And what we've also seen is there's a strong correlation between polycystic ovarian syndrome, that cysts on the ovaries or within the ovaries, and of course insulin resistance. So when the pancreas is not able to produce as much insulin, we've also seen this increase in cyst formation within the ovaries. Now that your daughter, and I'm glad that you mentioned that she also was able to successfully have two children, so in her case the polycystic ovaries is not affecting her fertility. We've had a host of patients that the PCOS or polycystic ovaries unfortunately affects their fertility. So in this case, if it's affecting her menstrual cycle, if it's causing any pain, if it's causing any bleeds within the menstrual cycle, then certainly not only get it checked out, but be treated. There are treatments that would reduce the presence of the cysts within the ovaries. And of course, worst case or lastly, we can even look to surgical treatment.
All right, let's get a call here. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to the lunchtime, doctor. You're on.
Yeah, good day. I want to find out what is infrared sauna and body analysis.
So we've seen a couple of companies that advertise this body analysis, especially this infrared sauna. That is yet to be shown that there's medical proof or medical research to those health benefits. If you have to do a body analysis, the best blood test to do, obviously, from a hematological perspective, you want to do your blood count, you want to do your sugar value, which is the HbA1c, and you want to look particularly on the cholesterol. That body analysis is not something I'm going to ever advocate for because it's not well researched and those values are not typically reviewed by a medical professional. So I'm not too sure how they're positioning and where they're getting their results from to give patients these conclusions that they are. In fact, some of it could be actually misleading. So save your money. Don't waste it on that and look towards investing in better health on the whole.
All right, we have a question here coming in from a very active male. Hi, doctor. I'm 64 years old and every morning I do 60 push-ups and then walk about 3.5 miles. I think I'm in good health and I don't feel any after effects, but my wife says that's too much. What do you think?
Absolutely not too much. The mere fact that you're 64 years old, I want to know what's the secret. Right? That's excellent. You've already built up something called an endurance level. You don't want to now waver from that because the body has gotten accustomed to that level of moderate type exercise.
Matter of fact, from the time he stops that, then he might start to get
then
sick.
Then you will feel sick, yes. Yeah. So the mere fact that you're doing that at age 64 and feeling well, you've already reap the benefits.
Yeah, man. Tell your wife to join you. Yeah? All right, let's take a call here. Good afternoon. Hello?
Oh, yes, doc. When I joined the gym, they tell me one thing. They take my pressure. When I joined the doc, right? 126 over 77. That's good.
Can you repeat that one?
126 over 77.
Yes, that's an excellent blood pressure. Anything within that range of 120 on 80 is great. So 126 on 77, that's young boy blood pressure.
And City, a young boy.
You know, you're always informative. I always like listening to you. And, you know, I hope that I really keep you here all the time. And, you know, because you're always informative, always know everything. If something that somebody asks and you don't know, you're always ready to inform them and always give them the best of your knowledge.
And what I don't know, believe me, I will research and let you all know. But here's what I want to challenge you, caller from Chin City. Take one bit of this information and share it with someone. Encourage someone to listen to the program. The health benefits you getting, make sure we get someone else tuning in.
And doc, here I do too. I use the same thing when I say this. I use the ginger with the cinnamon and I earl the lemon juice. Fresh lemon.
And how does it make you feel during the day? That's the question.
Real good, man. Real good, real good. Everything different. Everything natural, doc, as you say, as natural as possible, always better.
Excellent. Now, we always try to balance those medications or integrate it. If you are, and I want to emphasize that point, not just to this caller, but to all of our listeners, if you're placed on medications by your healthcare provider, please stay consistent with that. Do not try to eliminate your medications to substitute the natural ones. Integrate them. We very much can use a complementary approach rather than doing one over the other.
So what I do again to the, like the following week, I take like green tea with a cinnamon. I mix it now. Otherwise, I use one thing all the time. That's okay?
That's fine. That's fine. Excellent. So let's leave the areas open for see if we get a next caller.
Yeah, Trinity. Make sure all the guys on the taxi stand listen to the program, okay? Nice. 20 minutes now before 1 o'clock. We're on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangin 106.1, Vibe City 105, and of course Sky 99.5. You're listening to The Lunchtime Doctor. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, based on Doc. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help but getting back with the guy who did the 6-year-old who did the 60 push-up and walked 3 miles a day.
64.
Well, I'm not self-praising myself, but I'm almost 70, right? And I interject in a different way. I still plant alone a 3-acre parcel of garden. Coconuts, planting, cassava, you name it. And I do that, you know, in a, I wouldn't say the walking is bad, but I put my energies in a fruitful way, you know, with exercise and do the garden work so that it will produce something.
And here's the thing.
Part about the pressure. My pressure has been 120 over 88, 87, 90, and something like that.
Excellent.
You know? And I'm 70 years old.
So,
I'm a true vegetarian, and I cook what I eat, I plant what I eat.
Beautiful, man.
Excellent. Yeah. And you know, I'm happy to hear these type of results because it inspires, you know, Trinidadian in particular, or male population are not in the best of health and they don't give that extra energy. Now, as you were chatting there, our caller who's 70 years old and working the land, again, I'm sure you all know, you remind me very much of my uncle, my great grand uncle, who is 105. And he said that's his secret because they have a lot of land in Faizabad and he continues to plow the land. He continues to move his tractor. He still picks vegetables from his land to give his wife to cook. So yes, that's also a type of exercise. The closer you can be to ensuring you have some level of exercise, the same way all of these callers who are calling and posting about their results, I'm happy to hear. Feel free to let us know what your results are.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Hope all is well. Good afternoon. I have a question I would like to ask the doctor. Doctor, for the past couple of weeks, I have been experiencing like chest problems, but I don't know if acid causes that because I have noticed when I have drink coffee in the morning, I would be like short breath, gapping for breath, and my chest would be a little bit tight. So I will have to like to breathe like about 3-4 times in order for me to get a full gap of breath. Could you diagnose something or let me know what is it causing that?
So definitely. First and foremost, anytime you're having shortness of breath in associated to chest tightness, there are a couple things we want to rule out. We want to rule out angina or chest pain directly related to cardiovascular defects. We want to ensure it's also not GERD, which is gastroesophageal reflux disease. That may be one of the things that's causing that acidic feeling and taste you're having. But let's make sure you don't just sit with those symptoms. Anytime you're experiencing what you're experiencing, please present to the health center because it starts in small surges and then it can go to a larger, more detrimental effect.
Yeah, because sometimes when I lie on the left-hand side, like on my mat, I would, and I'm pretty young, I'm 36 years of age, I will experience this like tightness and I'm suffocating. Mm-hmm. I would have to get up or either smell some peppermint oil to kind of clear my chest, rub my chest with peppermint oil, and once I smell that minty flavor and I take like in deep breaths, it will clear my chest. I would feel good, but I'll have to do that like now as we speak, and I take a deep breath, my chest is cleared, but I will have to take like 3-4 deep breaths in order for that chest to clear.
So here's the thing, caller. as you're speaking right now, I'm almost hearing a wheeze. As in, I'm sure if I check your respiratory rate, it would be faster than usual. I really want you to go get that checked out, because while you're describing, you're using the peppermint oil and you're taking a little, it's more that you're bringing your body to a calm, and that's what's reducing either the blood pressure or reducing the heart rate. But you're sounding as if there's some sort of wheeze, there's some sort of increased respiratory rate, and that may be directly something is indeed affecting. So let's get it checked out and let's make sure it's
not... Yeah, because
not
for the past couple of days, the head as well is paining, and all between the shoulder blades as well. It's very hard and tight. I tell you, extreme headache until like this morning, actually, I had to take at least 3 Panadols in order for my headache to go on, like the top of the head, like a drawing, I heat in the head, but a lot of pain this morning.
All right, my darling, I don't like to hear anyone with pain. I want you to, what you are describing there, when you put all those symptoms together, is what we call red flags. Please present right away to the emergency med.
Yes, of course. Hi to all of our friends listening to us on Sangit 106.1 FM. We're getting questions from there, questions from Sky. Dr. Ross, questions coming in from Vibe City 105. Good afternoon to our other doctor there listening, Dr. Ross. Let's get another question here for the lunchtime doctor. Good day, doctor. My father-in-law had a triple bypass surgery some years ago. After long, he is now getting chest pains. What can be the cause of it? He is 87 years of age.
So anyone who's had bypass surgery, there is the possibility of having repeated chest pains. Now, you actually said it's quite a few years ago. So that would mean you already, the body already has the ability to build up on that cholesterol. Definitely, he needs to get that checked out. We need to know what's his cholesterol value. We need to have a better idea of his ECG, because sometimes just within the bypass, there may be occlusions that are happening. What are occlusions? Where the arteries become blocked up. So don't sit on that. Any person who's had bypass before is at a higher risk of having another heart attack. So please, again, another red flag.
All right, good afternoon.
Yeah, blessing again to you all. Doc, hear this. We have no gym, maybe, right? Buy me my own gym. I don't know if you have already gone and got an arena gym for a night. It's a big man thing. I tell you, I keep walking in one spot every other day between 6 and 7 evening. That's the best time to do it. And I keep walking, plus a lot of exercise for 20 minutes every other day. Doc, I have a problem with from a drink, right? Listen to this. Every day when I have lunch, I have a craving for Cokes. I am not diabetic, eh? But when I drink my Cokes, I go and exercise either lunchtime or in the evening. So I work it out. But I have a craving for this thing and I can't stop it. I wish you could advise me. We'll listen off here. Thanks.
Certainly. So I don't want you to nullify or reduce the great benefits of the exercise by adding a sugary type drink. If it's a diet version, then sure. But I would rather you substitute that drink altogether out for water. Water. Right? Here's why. There's a host of chemicals placed in those drinks that can cause other damages to your body. I understand the craving, you know. I understand it. Again, I remember we're working in the ICU and there's sometimes we got nothing, no time to stop and eat. And it may just be that particular drink that you mentioned there that gave that little level of relief. But then you realize when you think about it, it was more of an addiction or a need, a craving for it. And the minute I started to making sure the mental shift was there and putting it into my mind, okay, no, it's water I want. Water, give yourself about 18 days and then you will see the shift happening within your body. But switch it out to water.
Nice. Beautiful. Hello, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Dr. Mohammed. When
somebody
says, like, it gets...
You're sounding very faint there.
Could be the cause of that. I mean, it's normal to men, but it is getting a little darker and darker. What do you think it caused that?
Okay. So what I heard so far was there's a darkness on the skin, or is it darkness on the face?
Yeah,
Right. Okay, so I'm going to make an assumption. What we do see is changes on the decoloration of the neck. So we see a discoloration that is quite common, especially in our diabetic patients. It's actually called acanthus nigricans. If you're seeing that, there's a deposition, and we want you to get your sugar tested. If you're also seeing darkening or changes in the skin appearances throughout your body, that may be an atopic eczema, or it can indeed be some sort of thyroid dysfunction. So it could be a few things. Present to the health center, and you certainly will get to the bottom of it. Hope that answers the question.
All right, we have just about 10 minutes, Doctor. Pretty soon, let's get into our, you want to talk about the hand, foot, and mouth disease, and of course, what's in our Health Plus for
definitely
today.
Definitely. So we'll jump straight into what's in the Health Plus in your Guardian Health Plus this entire month. One of those awareness days is something called endometriosis awareness. This is a condition that women experience as frequent as 1 in 10. However, because it's tend to be stigmatized, as in it's directly related to the menstrual cycle, there isn't as much conversation about it. One may present with excessive pains around that menstrual time. One may even have painful urinations, painful bowel movements during the menstrual period. It may affect not just that particular functioning, it may have more serious consequences like leading to infertility or even pains and bleeding throughout the cycle. So let's make sure you get your Guardian, take a little read of it, because we talked about ways to prevent it, we talked about ways to treat it. Most importantly is identifying the signs and symptoms, presenting to your healthcare specialist, and of course, going based on the stage, what level of treatment is indeed necessary. Now, we are down to the last 10 minutes. Let's see if there are any more questions before we jump into the last one.
Yeah, definitely. Somebody's making a little statement here. Good afternoon, doctor and base. Doctor, you need to tell these people more sternly about getting to a doctor in the emergency room, not just to get checked up. That lady, the one who called with all the problems, seems to be getting an angina attack. What is that, an angina attack?
So angina is the medical terminology for chest pain. So that is a heart, that's a preliminary or a precursor to the heart attack. When there's a heart attack, that means the heart has stopped. And you're very correct, caller. Yes, I need to be a little sterner. I don't have
I know it's not in your personality.
I don't have this term.
I will do it for you. Go to the doctor. Please get that checkup, miss.
Right, anything away.
With your chest. Yes. Your chest pains. I mean, you're having chest pains and you're still, you know, at home. Please go see a doctor. All right. What exercise can be done for scoliosis?
Great question. We have quite a few people with scoliosis. So first and foremost, you want to start with some sort of stretching, and you want to do whole body stretching. It's important, however, what your ergonomics are. We talked about this. Proper seating, proper support, lumbar support in particular to your back, and of course, the placements of your hand, the shoulders, etc. In the evening, in the morning, you can engage in some yoga exercises, but engage in whole body stretching, especially within the thorax area, and of course the upper thorax, which is the upper lumbar or the cervical neck area. Hope that answers the question.
Another question. Hi, doctor. This is the girl that got the C-section, right? And it's her legs crumble and gets numb at times when she's climbing a height. Is that normal? Also, I have like a coolness on the belly from by the bus and come down. Is that normal? So, and how long do as a C-section takes to heal?
Right. A C-section, good question, can take up to a year or even longer to heal. But those symptoms that you're suggesting there does not sound normal. Return back to the health center or any private doctor and just let them get a closer look onto it. Post C-section, persons may have a host of concerns because remember, we would have gone into the tummy. There's 7 layers we have to go through before we actually deliver that baby. So please, just get it checked out.
The same person with the C-section is saying they haven't had their periods going in about 2 months.
That's okay.
Is that
so
normal?
Normal is it can go up to 6 months before the period returns.
Right.
And that's another thing most new moms don't know.
All right, good.
Yeah.
What about the endometriosis?
And yeah. Persons with endometriosis can also miss periods over certain time frames as well.
Right.
So let's jump straight into this hand, foot and mouth syndrome that we've been seeing present a couple cases in Carenage. It's actually a virus that causes it. Yeah. And persons with no chicken pox. Mm-hmm. So the same way chicken pox is contagious, is the same way this particular hand, foot and mouth syndrome or hand, foot and mouth disease is contagious. It's caused by a particular virus called Coxsackie A. Now, it is indeed that same type of contagious presentation. So you want to, if someone you're seeing these sores on the skin, or if there's high fever, you want to make sure you keep them at home. You want to also do the same thing that we're doing, proper hygiene, washing the hands often. Persons may present not only with the sores on their hands, they may also have an upper respiratory type infection. So even nasal secretions where they sneeze, that can be the way it's spread. So you're ensuring you're getting it checked out. It tends to what you present with is this blister on the skin. It's a rash you see on the palms of the hands. You may see it on the soles of the feet, and that's why we call it hand, foot, and you may see it on the inner mucosa of the mouth, mouth syndrome. If you're feeling sick, if there's any sore throat, if there's a fever or any of these blisters, present to the doctor, let someone know, because it may be the hand, foot and mouth syndrome.
But of course, this will be taking place at present with the children. Some people may not notice that you really have to be examining
exactly.
your children.
Exactly. Let's pay attention.
All right. Good afternoon. Doc, how do you treat heel spur?
So heel spurs can be several methodologies of treatment. First and foremost, you need to adjust your footwear. Most of the times, it's because directly of bad footwear. You also want to adjust. There are persons that do body mechanic exercises. I've actually gone through that with one of my patients. You realize they're walking and there's an inversion in the walking, and that means they're putting pressure on different parts of the sole of the feet. So if there's an increased pressure on one part, say the lateral part, then there may be those spurs forming. It also, we want to not only adjust the footwear, but you want to watch what you're eating. A high amount of uric acids within the meals, and that may be high saturated fatty foods, can increase that deposition and cause an increased amount of calcaneal spurs. So treatments tend to be by adjusting the footwear, adjusting what you're eating, and of course, a lot of physiotherapy. Those exercises, the massages, they tend to ease off that calcaneal spurs.
All right, just about 3 minutes to go. 627-3223-625-2257. Your lunchtime doctor for today. Tuesday, Hood and Freedom 106.5, Sangit 106.1 FM, Sky 99.5, and Vibe City 105 FM. Let's take a call here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to the host, and good afternoon to the medical angel. Doc, how healthy is Dashi to the digestive system? Thank you.
Good question, sir. Now, that there's still not enough research for me to give an opinion on it. I would again suggest if you're diabetic, you watch the intake of it, everything in moderation. Small amounts, because there are the health benefits to dahi. However, there is an associated high amount of saturated fats because it's a milk-based product. Another good benefit, however, is that it helps the gut metabolism because it's used like a probiotic, and we know the benefits of your probiotics. So sure, utilize it in small amounts like everything else we put into our system.
All right, we have time for about two more questions. Hi, doctor. My son's stomach burns when he eats. He is 42 years old.
So anyone that's experiencing that pain or that burning sensation on eating means there's some sort of ulceration. If not higher up in the esophagus, it could be in the gastroesophageal lining. So please, that needs to be evaluated. It may be directly related to what he's had in his system as an eating. It may be related to stress. Stress can worsen those ulcers on the esophageal lining. You also want to watch what is input. Sometimes even a little too much pepper, a little too much of that high flavored type foods. So ease off on that a little bit. Probably introduce more milk-based products before there's having a heavy meal, or just coat the lining with water and then have your meals.
All right, let's take a final call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. Is ginger good to put behind your heel when it's in pain?
So there isn't any medicinal value of the direct topical effect of the ginger onto the heel. You certainly can have the ginger as part of your meals or part of your meals or even a drink, but not to my knowledge if there's a topical benefit, as in when you're putting the ginger onto the heel. Hope that answers your question.
All right, we definitely covered a lot today, Doctor.
Oh my God, yes. Every possible angle, yeah, we talked about
today. I like this new name for you, the medical angel.
You know, I'm actually seeing the benefit of being in medicine for so many years,
yeah, yeah.
19 years. We actually, a couple of our colleagues who next year, where we'll be celebrating 20 years graduation, started to plan our get together.
Right.
So I'm going to be bringing on a couple of my colleagues.
Beautiful.
Because it's quite a long time that we've been together as medical colleagues.
Definitely nice. Well, folks, you've been listening to the Lunchtime Doctor / the Medical Angel right here on Freedom 106.5 FM, Sangit 106.1, Sky 99.5 FM, and Vibe City 105 FM. Join us again tomorrow, 12 noon, where we will deal with all your medical questions. Thank you very much for listening.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.